The following podcast is a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with the assistance from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to the What Do You Do podcast with Kath B. But first, whatever comes out of my head. As I was pulling out of the car park just then, I saw a beautiful woman who smiled at me. And I thought, well, she knows me or she knows my car because my car's got my branding on over it. So she knows my music. She might have kids. They might be fans. But I thought that she looked like she wanted to say more to me. So I slowed down as I passed her. I said, hi. She said, hi. And I thought she might say something like, my kids love your music. But no, she said that she'd just been on holiday and she was going home to do all the washing. And how we sort of get tired after we've been on holiday. And I said, yes, we need a holiday after a holiday. And she said, what have you been up to? And I said, I'd just been to Auckland for some gigs and they were awesome. And then we both said, see you later. And I drove off having no clue who she was. And oddly, or not oddly, it happens to me all the time. I have conversations with people lots of the time and have no idea who they are. Now, is that just me? Is it my brain that doesn't work properly, or what is that?
What do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do?
Today, I am speaking with Aaron. Now, Aaron is my neighbour, actually, and we only really met in kind of lockdown in 2020, didn't we?
That's correct. Yeah.
Even though I'd lived here and you'd lived there, we didn't really see each other.
No, it was just across the fence.
That's right. And then suddenly I was borrowing things from you, and Aaron has helped me out many times with various things and advice and fixing stuff. And I don't really know what I do for Aaron, but...
Cook me a meal.
I did just cook dinner for him, so that's great.
Thank you very much.
Now, Aaron, would you like to tell us what you do?
Well, I'm a sales rep for a local company that sells automotive electrical parts.
Yes.
Filtration and car care products.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small family-owned business, independent from all the big players. So, yeah, we care.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice. And so to get to being a sales rep, what qualifications did you have to have, or how did it come about?
Well, I was employed as a sales rep because I had experience as an auto electrician.
Uh-huh.
And that's helpful when you're visiting people on the road. You can communicate with them properly.
Because you know your stuff. You know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you can relate. And also because I was on that side of the equation for 17 years, I knew how to communicate with them.
Yeah.
Not just going cold.
Yeah. So when you say you were on that side for how long?
17 years. I was an auto electrician for 17 years.
Auto electrician. How long did it take you to become a qualified auto electrician?
On paper, it took me 3 to 4 years
mm-hmm.
to be fully qualified.
Yeah.
Experience, I'll never be qualified. I always maintain that I'm always being an apprentice because there's always something to learn.
Yeah.
But the basics was about 3 or 4 years. And then there was another part of that which I did, which was called ATEC at the time.
Okay. And what was that in particular?
That involved more managerial type things, experience with fault diagnosis on a molecular level, if you like. It was almost a university grade type qualification.
Okay.
I would say.
Yeah.
In the way that you had to present your answers with proof.
Right.
Yeah. So
was it a practical one or was it written?
It was written. There were practical as well. It's a long time ago now.
Yeah.
And that was 25 years ago.
Yeah, right.
Showing my age.
Do you think things have changed in the auto electric world?
Things have changed in terms of the equipment that's required to diagnose problems.
Yeah.
Which is very difficult to keep up with because those types of equipment are very expensive, so not all workshops can afford them.
Mm-hmm.
But also vehicles tend to last longer before they need repair.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And what does that do for a mechanic or an auto electrician? Like, is it just really a time saver?
It is. If you know how to use equipment like oscilloscopes to diagnose problems, then potentially it is a time saver because you don't have to pull things apart.
Ah, right.
And test them. Or the old method would be, the garage would just replace something to see if it fixes a problem. Well, it's not how we work.
I see.
Yeah. But it's not how you should work.
No.
Yeah, because it's very costly.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
So, Aaron, when you were younger, did you have a love of cars? Did you, what led you to decide that you wanted to be an auto electrician?
Well, when I was little, I wanted to be one of two things.
Yes.
I wanted to be an astronaut.
Of course.
Or a truck driver.
Oh,
cool. Didn't become either. And my first job actually was in a bank, working in a bank straight after school. At that point, I didn't really know what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
Probably still don't. To be
yeah, that's actually good for people to know because a lot of us still don't. We're still kind of going through the process, aren't we, really? But why did you do auto electrician, was it?
Yes, so I was interested in cars and I knew that I wanted to have some involvement in the repair industry, but something was a bit different and more complex rather than just mechanicking.
Yep.
And we're lucky in this country that being an auto electrician is separate to being a mechanic.
Yes.
Most countries aren't. There are only a few countries in the world that did, when I started, recognise an auto electrician as a separate trade.
Wow.
I think it was Australia, South Africa, England and New Zealand.
Wow.
Everything else was integrated into being a mechanic.
Because to me, it's really like two separate things.
Yes.
Yeah. So then if you train to become a mechanic in one of those places that doesn't recognise them as separate, do you have more years of training? You would have thought so.
Well, there's certainly more to learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's a sort of an average day look like for you at work?
Now that I'm a sales rep?
Yeah.
It would begin by dealing with incoming freight that we've ordered for people from the previous day. Most of that will come in before 9 o'clock, and we would either allocate it to the sale or the person and give them a call or send it on the courier if they had to go to another place.
Mm-hmm.
Looking if there's any emails from anybody wanting to purchase things or questions.
Yeah.
There's people coming in the door at the same time.
Yeah.
There's phones ringing as well with inquiries. Yeah, that's pretty much the start of the day. We have to get that part out of the way first because there's connecting couriers.
Yes.
For the things that we've ordered.
Yeah, right. Okay, cool. And when we first met, you were like the roadie sales rep.
Yes, I was a sales rep on the road.
But what did that involve?
It involved just visiting regular customers that stopped our products on the shelves. So I would say a Monday might be going to Marlborough and visiting the customers in Marlborough that we sell to regularly. And some of them might have a stock sheet with items on it and the amount that they hold on the shelf. And, you'd be going through that list and making sure that it's up to that level.
Yep.
Supplying them with product knowledge of new products that might interest them as they come through. So that might be a Monday. A Tuesday might be heading out to Wakefield or Richmond and doing a similar thing.
Mm.
And it covered the whole top of the South Island.
Yep.
On various days.
So in your job that you do now, what's your kind of favourite part of it?
Can I say lunch? Going home. The holidays. No. My favourite part of that job is probably when somebody comes in and goes, I don't know whether you can help me, but. And then they explain to me what they need or, what they're looking for. And if I'm lucky, I will have a solution for them.
Awesome.
And they are happy as well.
So that's very satisfying.
Yeah. So that's the most satisfying part of my job is seeing somebody get what they want when they come in, especially when they don't expect that I can help them.
Yes. Yeah. And not only just sort of a good feeling knowing you've helped someone, but also like, oh, I was able to, you know, solve a problem. That's really cool.
And sometimes it's a challenge. And that is actually what I like about that side of the job now.
Yeah.
That I'm in the shop rather than out on the road. People are coming to me with their problems.
Yep.
Rather than me trying to sell something.
Yes. Yeah, gotcha.
I'm not a huge salesperson as
such. Yes,
I'm not a pushy person.
Yeah.
I'd rather somebody come to me and say, this is what I want, or this is what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
How do we go about that?
Yes. And I know from being your neighbour that you are a problem solver because you have created a couple of particularly difficult things for me, like a window latch for my caravan.
I was thinking about that the other day.
Yeah. That was awesome. Yeah. And you figured it out and you've got a shed that you like to work in over there and it's great. Yeah. I just love that you are a very creative person. An auto electrician somehow is a creative person, and how that kind of fits your personality.
I think being an auto electrician is really a problem solver. You get presented with an object, and somewhere in that object there's the solution, and you've got to find it. Right? Yeah. It can be quite a difficult task because you are on a time constraint. I mean, you know, you've got somebody that's paying for your time.
Yeah.
And that's also very tricky because it might take 3 or 4 hours to find a problem, but the actual problem itself is very small. But it took that amount of skill and time to find that. And that's sometimes very difficult to relay to a customer.
Yeah, you mean as far as charging them for their time?
Charging them. Yep. Because they just, you know, they might see there's a broken wire somewhere.
Yes.
It took you four hours to
to find out.
And something you've never seen before.
Yeah. Mm. When you were at school, what subjects did you enjoy the most?
Science-related ones, probably, and outdoor education.
Yeah.
So biology. Music.
Yeah, that's right, now. Because what we haven't talked about is you're also a musician.
Well,
You are. You're a very good electric guitarist. You're a very good electric. You don't laugh. You're very good. And not only do you play guitar, but you also build guitars or make guitars.
Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah, that was a wee hobby. Well, I didn't have much room. You know, when you haven't got a garage or a garage space, you sort of think, oh, what else can I do? It doesn't take up much room.
It's not the only thing you make, though, because you've made cases for your guitars and you've made a table and what else? You've made so many things.
Yeah, well, I guess it's the reason why I made those guitars is because I wanted to learn a certain skill. Like, all those guitars that I have are different. One's got no frets, so you know that requires a different setup and a different sound, different pickups. Others have scalloped fretboards, or you know, just really strange things. Some I wanted to learn how to paint a certain way, you know, to get a certain effect.
Yeah,
just stuff like that to keep the mind busy.
Yeah, I think that's because not everybody can just go, oh, I want to build a guitar, so I will, or, can they though? I don't know, you seem to be that type of creative as well as kind of really interested in learning something new and going through the motions or searching it up or figuring it out.
Yeah, well, at the moment I'm learning 3D modelling and printing, 3D printing as well.
That stuff blows my mind.
Yeah, I've only had a printer for a couple of months, but it's just so interesting and you know, I'm just happy that I'm still interested in learning something.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
I would love to come and see that in action. The 3D
printer. You're welcome.
Can I do that? Because I just can't even fathom how that works. It makes no sense.
It's really cool to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, really cool.
Aaron, the frustrating part of your job.
Or
kind of a bit you don't really enjoy.
There's always the difficult customer that you can never please. So that's kind of frustrating, especially when you know that you're trying your best.
Yeah.
Another frustrating part of my job would be when things don't happen when you want them to happen. Like if you really, really need a part to arrive to give to a customer because they have a very important job, and the supplier either doesn't send it or the couriers send it to Mosgiel or and you're just left in the middle. How am I going to explain this, or how can I fix this? So that's pretty frustrating. Yeah. Yes. But all in all, pretty cool job.
Yeah, awesome.
Pretty happy.
What would you say to somebody who wanted to get into the automotive trade?
I'd suggest that they start off with a pre-trade course at their local polytech. If there is such a thing, there should be.
Yeah.
And what that does is it's usually a short course, either 6 months or a year. And what it does is it gives them a taste of different aspects of the trade, like automotive, electrical, there might be a bit of small engine, like lawnmowers, chainsaws.
Oh, yeah.
You would probably get to try your hand at welding, maybe some marine, I'm not sure. But what it does is that, you know, it might just trigger somebody to think, oh, yeah, I'd like to move in that direction. I really don't see myself working on trucks, but perhaps more suited to fixing chainsaws.
Right. It's like a taster, and it gives them, yeah, okay, that's really good advice. Yeah. Aaron, you also tinker and play and work on your own vehicles, eh?
I do, yeah. Yep.
And so since I've known you, you have totally restored a Morris Minor.
That was a long project.
It was.
So that was my dad's car.
Yeah.
And I was bored, and I asked him if he would mind if I could pull it apart and fix it and put it back together again.
Wow.
And it honestly took 20 years.
Yes.
Because, you know, life got in the way and it got put aside. And then I met one of my very good customers out in Hope, and he says, oh, why don't you bring it out and finish it out here. So yeah. so that's how that came about.
Wow. And that was, I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. You have done the most amazing job of it, including the vinyl, the seats, the upholstery, the doors. I mean, gosh, it's really amazing. That is a project of love.
Well, the best thing about it for me was being able to give it back to my dad, and as a complete project, saying, I can finish something, Dad.
Even if it takes 20 years.
Yeah. I was going to, sorry, Stalin, that I had to finish it. Yeah, it's not a vehicle that's close to my heart, although it was the first car that I ever drove, that particular car. So it was nice to see it still in the family and in a really good condition. Yeah.
My first car was a Murray Thau.
Excellent.
I know, and I loved that car.
I've seen a picture of that.
Yes.
That's cool.
So what are you working on at the moment? Another massive project?
I didn't expect to have this massive project, but it was something that I've always wanted to do. If ever I had a project, my ultimate project would be to build a kit car or a replica car.
Yep.
So I thought, one day if I could ever get a Lamborghini Countach, wouldn't that be just awesome? I mean, never happened. Who's got one of them in New Zealand? So my good friend Phil, who helped me with the Morris project, he says, oh, what are you going to do next? I says, oh, I don't know, probably a Lamborghini or something. He says, oh, I know somebody who's got one of those. It's totally floored me. And I says, oh, who's that? And he told me who it was, and ended up being one of my customers down the West Coast.
Amazing.
Which is really cool. So I just pestered him and badgered him until he gave in.
Yeah.
I've had that for probably 6 to 8 months now.
Yes.
It's in a million bits.
Yeah.
But I'm really enjoying the challenges. It's new challenges for me, things that I haven't done on a vehicle before, like change cam belts and water pumps and, you know, the mechanical things that eluded me when I was an auto electrician, you know.
Yeah.
And fiberglass repair. Never done. Oh. I'll be doing all that.
I'm in awe of that because of the fact that, A, you take it on, and B, you actually find out and figure out how to do these things and then do them. Like, that just blows my mind. And the patience you must have. I have no patience. So it's a long, long-term project it's a lot of patience.
Yeah, you've got to break it down into bits. You can't just look at it. It's too overwhelming. If you just looked at it as a whole, you've got to say, right, I'm going to do this today. And if you finish that, then it's all good. If you don't finish it, well, you just come back next week and just keep going. You know, you're only on your own clock.
Yes, true.
I've just got to get it finished before I can't get in it.
That's right.
Because it's a tight squeeze. Yeah. So, yeah.
So what advice would you have for somebody who either was at school and thought, I have no idea what I'm going to do with my life, or maybe wants to change jobs midlife? You know, what advice have you got?
Well, I'm that person.
Physically?
I never knew what I really wanted to do when I left school, but I gave something a go. It didn't work out. It is very difficult to, well, I found it very difficult to stop doing that and do something else completely different.
Yeah.
I guess just try something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Try something that you might be comfortable with and just build on it. I did leave the automotive trade for a very short period of time, and things weren't going well personality wise within the company.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, this, I just got to get out. So, and I did, and I went and worked in the tourism industry, completely different.
Yeah.
Well out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Which is big for me.
Yeah.
And I did that for 2 years, and that sort of work ran out, and I got back into the automotive trade straight after that. But when I went back in, I realised that it wasn't everything. You know, that one job, that one school, it wasn't everything for the rest of your life.
Yep.
You know, you do have the ability to learn other things. And if it doesn't work out, you can move.
You can.
Make on.
Yeah, you can chop and change. And that's good advice. And even to do something completely different that's out of your comfort zone. Yep. Because then you get a whole different perspective on things. You make new friends. You get new connections. And then when you go back, if you decide to go back, you go on with a different feeling, like a different point of view.
It's almost, you know, recognizing that people in different industries think different ways as well. So you might have more empathy for a customer because they don't know how something works.
Yeah.
Because they're not in the trade.
Yeah.
It makes it easier for customer service, I think, to have that mix that I've had.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm. All right, Aaron, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Thank you. Thank you for including me in your podcast.
Oh, that was so cool. Thanks, Aaron. And have a lovely rest of your evening.
Thank you.
What do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do?
The podcast you just listened to was a live recording of a radio show, first broadcast by Fresh FM, with support from New Zealand On Air. Fresh FM is a community access media station based in Te Tauihu, the top of the South Island, New Zealand. The funding of Access Media makes these podcasts possible. To find similar programs by other community media stations, go online to accessmedia.nz. If you, or your group, would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, freshfm.co.nz, for our contact details.